We continue with Rob Bradford and Baseball Isn't Boring on WEEI.
And streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
Hey, Don, here's the pitch.
Swing and a high drive into left field. This thing is back at the wall. It is gone! Say Don delivers an absolute bomb. Two-run shot, 6-4 Red Sox.
I know he threw two heaters behind, but that's a dumb pitch. It really is. You threw two heaters behind him, by him. So as a hitter, what are you thinking? I got to get the head out. And that sets you up for a breaking ball down and away. He challenges him with the same fastball, and he hits it a mile. That is beautiful.
All right, that's Will Fleming, Lou Maloney on the call last night. Red Sox won. Of course, they're talking about Sadon Rafaela having the momentous home run against Shelby Miller. Shelby Miller, what a story. He revitalized his career in large part because, you know, he went to the Dodgers and learned a splitter, and there you go. But I think Lou is on to something. And to set the scene, this is the Baseball Isn't Boring show. We're on with you till 3 o'clock. We've already had maybe one of the best hours in the history of radio talking about the great game of baseball. And this is going to be just equally as good. And the next hour is going to be equally as good to that as well, because there's a lot to talk about when it comes to baseball. And the last thought on the Lou take on Shelby Miller pitching to Sadon Rafaela. Like, normally I'm like, oh, well, you blow a guy, you keep blowing something by, and sort of like you throw 45 straight fastball Houston Astros to Rafael Devers until he can hit it. But to Lou's point, Rafaela has shown a propensity to not being able to touch a slider on the outside corner. Not on the outside corner, on the outside, like, side of the ballpark. So, like, so you set him up with two fastballs, boom, here comes a slider. Game over. But no, fastball, home run.
That is beautiful.
There you go. Thing of beauty.
It's another slogan right there.
Yeah. I'll tell you what's beautiful. The impending nuptials of Gordo of the Playtesty podcast. Also, a usual co-host of this show on Saturdays, almost every single week. We only got a few weeks to go, Gordo. Get your priorities straight. Let's go. Come on.
We're winding the baseball season down already? No, don't let it happen, Rob.
If I give you, so Joe Weil chimed in. He stopped by the Baseballs and Boring Studios up on the North Shore. We have the technology to do that. If I give you the technology to bring the equipment down to the Dominican Republic for your honeymoon, can you jump on the show? Is that all right? I mean, please.
Yeah, of course. I mean, what do you mean get the equipment? Like, what does that entail?
The equipment. I mean, you plug it in and you're on the radio. That's how it works.
You need to go and invade Rob's studio, get all the stuff, and bring it down.
So
with
in
you.
Case people don't know, go ahead.
I'll be recording Play Tessie from down in the DR, so I'll have like a mic and stuff.
I'm sure your wife is going to love that. Oh, my goodness. She's going to love that. Let's go scuba diving. No, I got to record the Playtesty podcast.
No, seriously. That's how it's going to go.
Oh, already laying down the law. And
she still said yes to you. Impressive for her.
Not yet, Joe. Not yet. That story's yet to be told. We got what is it? What time's the wedding on Monday?
6. All 6 right. o'clock it starts.
So we get about.
Supposedly she's gonna say I do, but we'll see.
Yeah, we're gonna see. It's not trending well for you.
Yeah, we're not through the finish line yet. We haven't made the lifelong commitment yet.
Notice he picks the time well enough after the Sox finale tomorrow in Detroit.
Yeah. Is your nuptials all hinging on Tarek Skubal, how he pitches today? Is that how it is?
That would not bode well for me. I'm not gonna hinge anything on the Red Sox hitting not just the best lefty in the league, but the best pitcher in the league. Oh boy,
well,
that's gonna be a tough one today.
Well, and here's your lovely bride to be is just I want to know what she's gonna have to deal with. Are you Gordo of the Playtesty podcast? Are you? I know that I don't know if I know many people who watch the Red Sox as religiously as you do. I can tell you this. There's not a single beat writer that does. Not even close. And so you watch every single pitch. You live and die with every pitch. And so do you wear it? Like, so in other words, does your lovely bride-to-be understand what she's getting into on a day where the Red Sox lose, that you're going to have to weather that storm of moodiness from Gordo?
In general or this weekend specifically?
No, in general. I mean, this is a lifelong proposition. I don't think this is like a 7-year contract, right? I mean, I believe this is a lifetime contract. So for the rest of her life, will she have to ride this wave?
Yes, and she's been riding the wave. We've lived together for, probably 4-ish years now. So she's been, and we've been together for over 8 years. So she knows exactly what she's getting into. She's ridden that wave through playoff losses, that Astros series. Do you remember when Devers hit that inside the park home run, and then they lost like maybe a minute and a half after that?
Yes.
That might have been the biggest emotional swing for me. She's lived through all of that. It cannot get more.
But you know what? Here's the thing, Gordo. She hasn't legally lived through it, right? She hasn't under God's watch.
It's true. It's different.
Lived through it. So,
You're right. You're right. Because at that point in time, it's like, okay, if this gets really out of hand, I can just jump ship. After Monday, you can't just jump ship. That's your life.
No,
it's committed.
Yeah, till death do us part isn't just a slogan.
Yeah, I am looking forward to holding the chair. I am looking for holding the chair, breaking the glass, eating the oysters, drinking the beer. I am looking forward to all of it. Most importantly, celebrating the nuptials of two fine people.
Gordo, what is Bradfo's specific role at the wedding? Because he said a couple months ago he wants to invoke being a party star.
It's celebrity. It's the celebrity faction of the wedding. Yeah.
Yes, that's exactly it. It was on his invitation, Joe.
I'm an influencer.
He's gonna lift the chair, though. He's excited to lift the chair. I'm excited to be lifted in the chair. It's only happened one other time at my bar mitzvah. I almost got tipped out of it at the time, but I'm a little bit heavier now.
As I said, I'm not lifting a chair. I'm asking your photographer to get in position where it gives the illusion of I'm lifting the chair, because my wrists have not recovered from falling outside Coors Field still. So Gordo, I don't want to keep you anymore, because I know you're busy. You're a busy man. You're getting ready for everything. We just want to hear from the bottom of our heart, say thank you for all that you do for the brand, for the great game of baseball. And you don't worry about us. You go get married. You go on your 5-week honeymoon or whatever it is. Like, so you don't worry about us. We'll be okay. We'll be here waiting for you when you get back. And so the last question I have, what's the day you get back? What's the date?
I think it's like the 18th.
The 18th.
Yeah, it's the
18th. Would put you in the heart of, what is it, the Orioles? What is that? What do we got, Joe?
I know. 18th would be Red Sox at Rays.
Red Sox at Rays. And so on the 18th.
Right before that big Twin series.
On the 18th, as you pass through customs, is it going to be happy Gordo or sad Gordo when it comes to these Boston Red Sox?
When it comes to the Boston Red Sox, I have to think that they're still going to be kicking, because I'm counting on that Twin series being a massive one.
Okay.
They got 3 games with the Twins on the 20th through the 22nd. I'm counting on those games being the closest that we have felt to playoff Red Sox baseball since 2021. That's what we need.
And I part of the things that shows that I have coming up, along with Emma Tiedemann and Riley Pay, are going to join us at 1:30 to reflect on their historic time in the broadcast booth. I was looking at the Twin schedule, Gordo. Not that tough.
Yeah, it's not that hard.
Not that hard. Not that tough. So we'll break that down, but you got things to tend to. Go tend to those things, all right? We'll see you.
Let the spirit of Alexio Gondo carry the Red Sox through this home stretch, all right? 1 month to go. Keep thinking about Alexio Gondo, Rob.
Much like you have asked me to do at your wedding, I will proclaim, let it be said, let it be done. All right? There you go, Gordo. All right.
All right, Rob. Thanks for having me.
Go forth, my friend. All right. Gordo from Play Tessie Podcast, Joe Braveman, also the Play Tessie Podcast, behind the mic or behind the glass. But now he's going to be behind the mic because he's going to trend. All right, let's go. Baseball's boring. On with you until 3 o'clock. Then Krisham and John Lyons. Yes. All right, Chris Krisham and John Lyons take over. We haven't even got to a lot of different stuff. We haven't got a ton of stuff. We've been obsessing over a lot of the state of the Red Sox and what is at their fingertips. It's at their fingertips, Joe. It's at their fingertips.
It's closer than it's ever been in quite some
time. Well, not really. I mean, no, that's not really true, but it's okay. But my point is, if you get to the playoffs, there's no team that you'd be scared of. But Gordo, because his senses are keen, because he's getting married in a couple days, he points out, or I pointed out, and he agreed. People have to understand, the twin schedule is easy. It's easy. I'm going to rattle through it before I get to the call real quick. And by the way, in a mere matter of minutes, Emma Tiedemann and Riley Pay of Portland Sea Dogs, also of the historic broadcast from Monday night, are going to join us to tell us, reflect a little bit, which I'm really, really excited about. But the Twins schedule, Blue Jays are playing the Blue Jays currently. Then they go to the Rays for four. They go to the Royals. Okay, the Royals are tough. That's going to be a big series. Then they have the Angels at home. They have the Reds at home. They stink. The Guardians, I'm not even sold on. I mean, they have them for four. Then you have the big series against the Red Sox. Then you have the Marlins. And then you finish off with the Orioles. So there's a couple good teams, you know, but still, I mean, you have, you know, the Guardians aren't that good. I know they're in first place, but they're not that good. The Angels.
Yeah, it's going to be like a three-team race, essentially, for
the Reds.
Central Division.
Yeah, anyway, all right.
I guess it's because Minnesota is just kind of there. No one really pays attention to them. Meanwhile, Kansas City just, like, came onto the scene out of nowhere. They got the star.
Yeah, but I could also see, you know, like, the Kansas City, we'll go through their schedule maybe a little bit later. They could hit the skids, too. Cleveland could hit the skids. Who knows? You guys, hey, you know what you got to do, Joe? You got to win. Just win. All right, Tony in Bridgewater. Speaking of winning, let's go, Tony. What do you got?
Hey, what's happening, Rob?
What's up?
This will be the last time I bring this guy's name up. Please do not compare Vlad Guerrero to Casas. It's you are insulting anybody who knows.
Well, wait a second. How did I compare? When did I do that?
Earlier in the show.
No, Tony. I'm going to let you talk. I'm going to let you talk, but hold on a second. I am going to clarify exactly what I said to Ken Laird, which is the only time I talked about Tristan Casas the entire show, which I'm sure we'll talk about more. But this is what I said, is that when you're talking about trading Tristan Casas for Vlad Guerrero, of course, like, if they had the same contracts lined up, absolutely. Better fit for the Red Sox. Better fit. But they don't. Vlad Guerrero is a free agent after next year. Tristan Casas has about five more years of control. Also, and this is where I'm going to listen to you, and you're going to either refute it or understand what I'm saying, that people have to understand that Tristan Casas is really, really good. Going back, I'll say this again, going back to June 1st of last year to right now, he has a better OPS than Rafael Devers. It's 912 OPS. He is a good player. All of that. The floor is yours, Tony.
Rob, you ignorant slap.
Say that.
Casas is a jag, okay? You got to start with this 838 OB.
I'm sorry to bring facts into it, Tony.
You want to hear facts?
Yes.
You want to hear facts? He strikes out 28% of the time compared to Guerrero 17% of the time. He's got 37 career home runs, Casas. Vlad averages 30 a year. I can go on in every statistic.
What did I just say?
You're talking about Casas. Well, stop talking like John Henry.
First of all, Tristan Casas is not. Tristan Casas is not a jag. Like, that is just not factual, Tony. Like, when I give you numbers from, that we're talking about an entire season, the most recent season that we have, right? The most evidence that we have of 500 plate appearances. And when you have an OPS that is better than Rafael Devers, then you're probably doing something right.
Rob, 750 at bats. This guy's 254. It's 838 is his OPS career. You always come up with this stupid one statistic. Vlad's career, he's 862.
I give up. Joe, what am I doing? I give up. Like, honestly, I love Tony, but what are we doing? Like, what are we? I don't know how to paint this any better. Like, I'm not saying that Tristan Casas is as established as Vlad Guerrero. I'm not saying that Tristan Casas is a better fit than Vlad Guerrero in the Red Sox. I'm not saying any of that. I'm not. But, like, I am bringing facts into it where you had Tristan Casas the first 2 months sucked for the first, I'm talking about last year, his first year in the major leagues. It was not good. That's what happens in Major League Baseball. That's what happens. But now, like a lot of players, you figure it out and you go from June 1st, which I think is fair, from last year to now, what he has done, including, by the way, when he has come back from this injury where you got the rib cartilage, whatever it is, in torn off of your sternum. Like, he's been good since then. He's a very good player. I think that we can establish now that he is a very good player. Is he as good as Vlad Guerrero? No, I am not saying that. Oh, my goodness.
They just don't want to admit that they just don't like Casas.
No, that's the point. That is the point. And I want to get to this. Well, we could talk about it down the road. But that is the point. Like, it's this, they do not want to admit that their old man yelling at clouds, how dare you go out and sunbathe with a ski mask. Anyway, to bring some sense and some good vibes to this program, we have the two people who are we proclaiming at Baseballs and Boring, the two people of the week, maybe the month, maybe the year, Riley Pay and Emma Tiedemann, broadcasters for the Portland Sea Dogs, but more importantly, history makers for the Boston Red Sox. Hello, Riley. Hello, Emma.
Hello. Nothing but good vibes.
Oh, yes. It's so good to hear from both of you. And I can say so, and I'll talk to you and I'll call for you because I know you're on different phones. I appreciate you both calling in. Busy day going on. You are the two of the hardest working people in baseball that I know. I'm going to apologize ahead of time that of such a great day on Monday for you that the low point was me giving you broadcasting advice outside the Red Sox dugout. I apologize for that because it was probably very stupid, but I was just so excited for you. Emma, you can accept my apology first.
Okay, apology accepted. The rest of the day went great after that, so we'll talk about that.
Okay, and Riley, you as well. I apologize to you as well.
Well, we always take all the feedback. That's the beauty of broadcast. We'll take any feedback, so keep it coming.
That was a test. That was a test for both of you. All right. So I know that, you know, people have asked you this since then, but I do want to sort of get, you know, I did, all kidding aside, I did talk to you before and I was so excited for you. And there was this unknown about all of this when you do it for the first time. Now that we're a few days out from it, Emma, I'll start with you. What is the thing that your takeaway that maybe you didn't expect from this historic broadcast, in case people don't know, maybe I didn't set the scene well enough, but you were both on part of the Nesson broadcast on Monday night's game against the Blue Jays. So Emma, what was be the biggest takeaway in terms of surprise for you?
I don't know. I think there were a lot. I just went in, you know, hoping to call a semi-clean game, you know, just making sure that it was going to be pretty smooth play-by-play wise. But I think that the thing that kind of surprised me the most was how everyone has embraced this and how much support we've gotten after, you know, getting tweeted by Billie Jean King and Beth Mowins and all of these kind of heroes in our industry talking about Riley and I. It's kind of been surreal. We knew we had the support in Portland, obviously, with the watch parties up here, but to see it kind of go New England-wide and then nationwide to a certain extent as well was really the cherry on top of truly a perfect day at Fenway on Monday night.
All right, Riley, how about for you?
Yeah, I think a huge thing is probably exactly the same as like she said, because broadcast is so subjective, you just never know. But it was super nice, just how kind people were, all the messages that we received, and just the whole experience as a whole. We went in thinking of doing the middle three play-by-play innings, and then Dave O'Brien and Amy Johnson as well just even tabled the idea to kind of continue on and keep the rest of the game. So I think that was a super pleasant surprise, and just something that speaks volumes about them and their production and how they run things. Just so nice of them to let us have the mic for a few more innings and just get to experience all of that. It's been super neat just having people reach out and expressing how much this meant to them and their little girls and just things like that. It was super awesome to hear.
I mean, it is such an impactful thing. And you mentioned some of the people who have reached out, you know, on social media, Billie Jean King being one. I'm like, oh, wow, that's that's pretty cool. But Emma Tiedemann and Riley Page joins us on the Baseballs and Boring Show. And Emma, I have a question in terms of, we talk about the reflection of it after the fact, but when you're in the middle of it, one of the things I thought listening to you guys was how it really felt like you just were really comfortable. And maybe you were nervous, I don't know, but it felt like you were comfortable, that you were comfortable in just doing what you have done so well for the Portland Sea Dogs. When you sat and got into it, is that how you felt, Emma, you first?
No, I was so scared. honestly, you know, mentally I was telling myself, all right, you know, I've been with Portland since 2020. I've been doing baseball for over 10 years now. You know, I have the experience, you know, it's just another baseball game. But when it actually got, you know, into the game, I was kind of having to mentally kind of say, all right, Emily, like you've got a little antidote for this. Let's say it. And trying to like, just, I mentally just had to push myself to say something, just because it was very intimidating, being in that broadcast booth, looking down at Fenway, not to mention with Dave O'Brien and Kevin Youkilis, who were great and very welcoming. But it's a little intimidating. I think I finally got really comfortable in, I think, the seventh or eighth innings. And I'm always play-by-play first. That's where I just absolutely love to call games. And so the fact that they were able to keep us on and allow us to still do play-by-play through the ninth inning, I think really helped me personally, just because that's what I'm super comfortable with. I can do play-by-play, no problem. And then I think that's where the stories and everything organically kind of came from, especially those later innings. So, no, I was nervous as heck. And I'm glad that I was able to hide it a little bit and fool a lot of people.
Riley, now this is your time to say, I wasn't nervous. I was completely confident. It was no problem at all. It was just like every day at Hadlock Field. How do you feel, Riley?
No, I think what Emma said really does summarize it as well. I think it's one of those things where when you broadcast so much, and especially with the Sea Dogs, like you're playing every single day. So you get into this rhythm that sometimes you sit down and forget that people actually listen to you broadcast. And then you'll have people like come in and tell you stories like, oh, I liked when you said that. And then it puts it into perspective that people actually do listen. So I think that was something that I was thinking about just going into it, was that there's going to be a whole lot more people listening, and the entire New England area, much bigger than in just Portland. So I think that was something that I tried not to let get into my head. And ironically enough, usually play-by-play has always been the hardest thing for me. It's the challenge that I really enjoy, and it came after the fact in my collegiate career. So I enjoy the challenge, but for me, I think with all of the buzz that was going around with the rest of the day, once I finally sat down and put on the headset, I think I kind of, in a way, did take a deep breath and realized, okay, this is the same game that we broadcast every day. This is still baseball, and you just call it how you see it. And I think that's something that was awesome from a lot of our coaches leading up to it, our managers, our dev coach, asking, are you guys nervous? I'm like, of course, very nervous. But they're like, why are you nervous? Like, this is the same game. It's just baseball. And I think I tried to keep that in the back of my mind, that they're so right. It's just baseball. So just kind of keeping that in your mind and not letting it get too high or too low, keeping it even keel throughout the whole thing.
Well, and again, Emma Tiedemann and Riley Page joins us. And, you know, ladies, I probably didn't articulate this well to you before the game, but that's how I felt, is that sometimes, especially at the major league level, where you're besieged by all this information and you don't want to miss anything. But at the end of the, Riley, you just said it perfectly. you get up there, and this is why you are doing this, because you like baseball, because you enjoy watching baseball. You enjoy describing baseball. You enjoy telling stories. And the stories, and Emma, I think you said this, is that, you know, I was thinking, I got to get to this story, I get to that story. But those stories will come, because you know why? I know that because when we're watching a baseball game and nobody's around, I remember this, or I'll tell this story or that story. And I thought both of you did such a good job of that, that there was that combination of, yes, you are pros and you can execute this, but also feeling like, hey, I would want to watch a baseball game with you. And I don't know, Emma, if you feel the same way, if that's something that you could get that sense of, that people are saying, oh yeah, you know what? I enjoy watching a baseball game with Emma and Riley. I not only enjoy listening, but I enjoy just watching it with them.
Yeah, you know, I think I always try and have that come across in the broadcast. Eric Nadell, the voice of the Texas Rangers, that's one thing he really harps on is, you know, people should tune in and listen to you, especially on the radio side, and think, hey, you know, you're just watching this game with a friend. And that's really what I strive for every single broadcast with the Sea Dogs. And then with Riley, it's easy because I am literally watching every baseball game with a friend, with Riley as my partner. And I think that kind of chemistry came across too, of Riley and I know each other really well. And know, you know, whoever's on play by play, you know, what the other person is going to say sometimes, or when they're going to chime in and everything. So yeah, I mean, overall the goal is to have it be just a very easy listen. You maybe learn a thing or two, but you walk away thinking, oh, okay, yeah, I could watch a game with them.
It's so true. And Ryan, let me ask you this. So obviously we talk about all this information that you get in a Major League Baseball game. What is, for the people, for these young broadcasters who haven't experienced this, what is the thing that you don't understand when you do step into a Major League broadcast booth compared to single A or even double A?
Yeah, I think there's just so many more elements to it. In the minor leagues, you often are like a one or two person show in every facet. So you're taking care of all the media relations and coordinating for the players and being that kind of liaison for them. And then you're also doing the stat packs on your own. You are the research team, making your own game notes and coordinating with the coaches and transactions and really everything that a lot of major league teams will have multiple people for. You're doing all on your own. So I think it takes a little bit more of that extra edge off, where you just really get to focus on the broadcast. So when you go into a major league scene and they already hand the game notes to you, and you have these extensive stat packs with literally any stat you could imagine. Emma and I were both just in awe of how many awesome stats there are, and just league wide. So you're getting stats for the entire Major League Baseball. So it's really, really cool actually to see all of that and to have all of that at your fingertips and just those resources to kind of look at it at a broader sense. It also opens your mind now too to all of what's out there and the way that other people do their game notes and things like that. I think I personally will take back and think about going forward, but it's just so cool. The entire team that goes into it and everything that goes into a Major League game and just all the resources. I think it was really fun to experience for us.
So the last thing I will ask you both is that, you know, I know that when it's done, you know, I think I didn't see one single negative thing. It was all positive, and rightfully so. And so you have that element of it, but you're still micromanaging every single thing you said. And you can probably remember every single sentence that you said. What is, I'll start with you, Emma, what is the call or the moment of that game where you felt like I don't want to say you nailed, but that you were like, okay, you know, that was, I articulated that about as well as I could ever hope for. Because, again, I don't think people understand, like, you are micromanaging yourself more than anyone else is micromanaging anybody. So what is the call or moment in that game that you take away from saying, I did really well there?
I mean, I don't know if I would have, see, because I'm going to be my worst critic and say, well,
yeah,
all
but
of my
get past that. Don't, no, get past, you got to get past that. Come on.
But I think the things that I did the best were the 6-5 putouts at second base with Hamilton and Devers, because in baseball, you rarely see a 6'5 put out at second. And I think it took all four of us by surprise that not only did it happen once, but it happened twice. And the fact that I was on play-by-play and it was just a weird play at second base that Devers came over to cover. And, you know, Gasper was there, but they didn't toss to Gasper. It was this whole kind of weird happening to second base. And it happened twice. And I think that those are those unexpected moments that can take you by surprise. And if you aren't prepared, if you're not paying attention, that you could really mess up. And I think that in those two moments took me by surprise, but I think I handled them pretty well. And that, to me, too, as just a huge baseball fan, I thought they were super weird and super fun on top of it.
That is such a good answer. All right, Riley. Now, again, with the understanding that I know that we all focus on, we're critical of ourselves. I want you to accentuate the positive because it was all positive for me. So I want you to identify the moment that you were most proud of.
I think my favorite moment for sure and one that I always remember is the Duran home run. I think that's always one of your dreams is to call a major league game and then to have a home run. And for that, I tried. I think I was really numb during the whole experience and I'm just kind of trying to keep it even throughout that and not get too high, not get too stressed about any scenario. But it was awesome for that one because you just knew it off the bat and the type of player that he is, you just like – demolish that one. So that was awesome. Dead center field and just tried to keep it kind of the same as how I usually call home runs and not try to do too much or make it something that isn't me. So tried to keep it what I've done in the past and what's just me and my style as a broadcaster. So I think that was an awesome experience and one where you sit back and think about it later and you're like, oh, wow, that was the Jaron Duran home run at Fenway Park. And one that I'll always remember, so that was awesome.
Riley, you know how I know it was good? Because it was the Baseballs and Boring home run call of the day. So there you go. Of the many, many honors that has to go to the top of the list. But Emma and Riley, thank you so much. It was always great seeing you. But it was more importantly, it was great listening to you and you did such a good job. And I'm not just saying that, like, I honestly, cause I was nervous for you, but once I started hearing you, both of you, I'm like, you guys are so good at this and you got it totally under control. And I wasn't nervous cause I didn't believe in you, but listen, like having done that, like, and also like, I understand how daunting that is. And you guys handled it so expertly and awesomely, and so I appreciate it. And appreciate you joining us here. So, Emma and Riley, hopefully we'll see you soon, and keep up the good work.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
All right. Emma Tiedemann and Riley Pay joins us. We appreciate that. Joe Braverman is also a play-by-play person.
That is true, yeah.
I'm sure that you appreciated that conversation and appreciate what they did.
There
were
so many mental notes that I just took from that conversation.
Did you? Like what? Give me one.
Just it was the funniest thing, or not funny, but the most captivating thing was when they talked about one of the plays, just a simple 6-5 putout. It feels simple when you look at it, but it's much more complex because, as you said, it was the throw to Devers who was covering second.
And also, I thought both those answers were so good. So Emma talked about that play, which is a out of the ordinary play. And you know, Joe, as a broadcaster, like that, those the ordinary plays, they can be challenging for a broadcast. Like it's because it's out of the ordinary, but Emma did such a good job with it, and I'm glad she brought that up. And I'm glad that Riley, I knew she was going to bring up the Jaron Duran thing, rightfully so, because, yes, it's a home run. But there's so many things, like she said, you have to treat it like a home run in Portland, but you know you're on this enormous stage, and you don't want to be too over the top, and you don't want to come up with some, like, campy slogan or anything. And another small part of this, and I kind of wish I asked about this, and Joe, you know this. You're up in the booth. Depth perception, like things like that.
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
Like absolutely.
You do calls from Hadlock Field. You get an idea what's going to go out, what's not, what's going to be against the wall, what's not. You know as well as I do because again, you're up there. Like this is a whole nother thing.
You have to train yourself. Like it takes weeks to figure out like is this going to be a pop fly? Is this going to be a home run? Is it going to leave the park? Like, you have to, it's a physical training of your own body. And as you say, depth perception. Yeah. So
there was a lot.
The fact that they adjusted so
quickly.
Yeah,
man. Like, there was a lot that went into it. And when I turned, I was nervous for them. And then when I heard them, I'm like, wow, man, they're doing so, so well. And they did so well. All right. We appreciate that. We'll put that up on the Baseballs and Boring feed at BB Isn't Boring. But we got more Red Sox stuff to talk about. Obviously, we have Chris Scheim and we have John Lyons coming up at 3 o'clock. We'll be doing Baseballs and Boring all the way to 3 o'clock, but we have a lot of things we can break down, including this Casas stuff. Like, it drives me nuts. It really drives me nuts. But I want people to call it. I want people to call in to telling me I'm full of hooey or to do what people have been doing. Because once again, Tristan Casas goes out to wear with a ski mask, sunbathing, and everyone freaks out, including our good friend Jonathan Papelbon, and everyone freaks out about this guy. Well, let's not get this twisted about Tristan Casas. Let's get the narrative defined, please. Can we define the narrative with Tristan Casas? Because it is so warped. It is so warped. Trade Tristan Casas. Trade Tristan Casas. Fine. If you can trade him for Vlad Guerrero, who has an extension, fine. I'm all for it. But you don't have an extension for Vlad Guerrero, and you do have this version of a very, very important person, very important player. I'm going in this rant. I got to calm down, lower the heart rate. We're going to be back right after this.
Happy move-in weekend from WEEI.
Moving out.
The sports station to listen to while you're stuck in traffic because some Nimrod storoed their truck.
Oh, I didn't know that was the intro, Joe. What was that?
We're just giving a shout-out to everyone moving.
I understand.
And it's probably
that was like,
stuck
like, usually like an Ace of Spades by Motorhead or something. Let's go.
I didn't make the rejoin.
I need some music to pump me. I don't need like a reminder that I could be stuck in traffic in Storrow Drive. That's like that's demoralizing. This is a very feel-good show. Baseball's a boring show. We're on with you till 3 o'clock. It's been a great show. Thank you to Riley Pay and Emma Tiedemann, historic broadcasters, for joining us. And I'm going to put that up on the Baseball's Unboring podcast feed just in a mere matter of minutes. At BB Isn't Boring, at BB Isn't Boring. Every single day we have podcasts. Today we have two up this already today. Already today, my conversations with Roman Anthony and who else?
Christian Campbell.
Christian Campbell. I always get his name mixed up. It's hard because it's a K and a C. Right? But Christian Campbell and Roman Anthony. Roman Anthony could be the number one prospect in baseball by the end of the year, but in some publications. Christian Campbell could very well be the minor league player of the year in all of the minor leagues. Those two things could happen. I know what happened. I sat down with both of them in Worcester. So those are up. And also, a conversation I had with Zach Gallen. Is he the best-dressed player in all of Major League Baseball? I love talking to Zach Gallen, Arizona Diamondbacks pitcher. Sat down with him for about 25 minutes. So that was part of that conversation. Very important stuff. The Arizona Diamondbacks, by the way, you guys may not know, I think the only team that I've seen wear sweatsuits, like team sweatsuits, like a college team, when they go on road trips.
Yeah, that's very odd. I can't recall any team doing that at all.
Well, because you haven't seen any team, but in fairness, but still, thank you for playing along. All right, here we go. Wally in Fall River. Wally, my friend, always good hearing from
you. Bradford.
What's
beautiful
happening?
Day out.
Beautiful day.
Last night was the start of an 8 or 9 game winning streak for us. As far as Tristan Casas, I mean, what is this? Pick on Tristan Casas week. He's our Derek Zoolander. He's our Napoleon Dynamite. He's a little quirky. Who's not?
Well,
you know what I mean?
So I'm going to give credit, Wally. Wally, Wally, I love the Derek Zoolander. I love the Napoleon Dynamite. But Tom Caron, I'm going to give full credit to Tom Caron for this analogy. And this is probably your age group. Andy Kaufman. Remember Andy Kaufman?
Yeah, but Napoleon Dynamite's a funny movie. So is Derek Zoolander.
You don't listen, Wally. Yeah, you're like, this is like when you called saying they should pick up Tim Anderson. Like, you don't, you know, no, you just keep going. Anyway, Wally, you're one of my favorites. Keep going. What's going on?
No, I'm just, as far as our Red Sox, I mean, Duran's been a one-man gang. You know what I mean? He's going to need help. If we're going to win any third wild card, it's because of our hitting. I mean, we have to play clean games every day. You can't be scoreboard watching. We got to take care of our own business. But I don't think they're going to make it, Bradford. They might finish 2 or 3 games out, which, you know, it'd be heartbreaking, but it is what it is. We didn't expect much of this team anyway at the beginning of the year. But they're going to have to start. Like I said, they started last night. You got to win 7 more in a row.
But, you do? You have to win 7 in a row?
7 or 8 in a row. I predict that.
Okay. Let it be said.
And,
let it be done.
One other thing. If Zach Gallant's the best baseball player as far as style, and I think I'm the best caller. I only buy Tommy Bahama and Ralph Lauren.
Really? You
right?
Do.
I'm not a Kmart Walmart shopper. I just come back from Macy's. They bought $150 shirt on clearance. I've got a Tommy Bahama. I got Tommy Bahama floral Hawaiian shirts for $150. So I'm not a Kmart shopper.
Man, look at you, Wally. I've never the humble brag. I don't know if you know. I just came back from a store and bought a $150 shirt. I mean, Wally. I mean, you are the best dressed caller that we've had today. I'll say that.
I think so. Thanks. Thank you very much. But like I said, you get what you pay for.
That's a perfect segue into the trade deadline. Wally, thank you. Thank you, my friend. Oh, my goodness. Wally knew exactly what I wanted to talk about, which is now we have a month to go, right? A month from the trade deadline. We can actually judge what happened in the trade deadline and grade this out. Everyone was giving the Red Sox a B-C+. I don't think anyone's giving them a B-C+ now. But we can look at what we're talking about, like who actually did what when it came to the trade deadline. And Wally said it. Here's a spoiler for what we're going to talk about. You get what you pay for. That is the biggest takeaway of this trade deadline. You get what you pay for. And by the way, some subtle news with the trade deadline. A guy who was dealt has already now switched teams again. Tommy Pham, the fiery, the intense Tommy Pham, who the Cardinals got and said, oh, here we go. You know, he's the spark that we need. Well, they put him on waivers. It looks like the Royals picked him up. So
at least he doesn't have to travel far.
That is accurate. You are a man of science and geography. Appreciate that. Joe Braveman, excellent job. Speaking of pitching a perfect game, you are pitching a perfect game. And Tommy intern, Tommy part-time, Tommy full-time, he's taking over next. All right. You better stick around, Joe. You gonna stick around?
I'll still be here. We'll have a nice conversation.
Oh yeah, I'll be asking for your takes, your hot takes. Also, my conversation with Roman Anthony will be coming up in the next hour, and I'm toying with this idea as well, where Tarek Skubal is pitching for the Detroit Tigers. He is one of the best pitchers in baseball. May win the Cy Young, and also his best pitch in baseball. You know what it is, Joe?
Is it the sweeper?
No, it's a changeup. He has a very unique best pitch in baseball, changeup. And you know who taught him that changeup? Bobby Dalbec. So I talked to Bobby Dalbec for about 5 minutes about this. I feel like I should play this. I feel like people would enjoy this.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, all right, we'll play
let
that.
Let it be done.
We'll let it be said. That's a trademark. You owe me $5. All right, but still, so we got a lot coming up in this last hour. Appreciate everybody who's helped make this maybe the best show of all time for the first 2 hours. As we said, 3 o'clock, Chris Scheim, John Lyons. We got a lot to go, though. Baseball isn't boring. Be back after this.